very different than the guy shared testimony. The testimony was about a couple waiting for Christmas Eve. And the couple, as they waited for Christmas Eve, wife was pregnant. They were anticipating the newborn baby, not exactly Christmas Eve, but coming. And turned out she started to go into labor, and they said, well, looks like it's going to be a Christmas baby. And they're in there, and suddenly his wife's heart stopped. And this doctors could not revive her. And so they did a C-section immediately, trying to save the baby. And as the baby comes out, it's blue, and it looks like there's not going to be any hope for the baby. And the doctors worked diligently for quite a few, for a little while, for how long it was, I'm not sure. And they could not apparently save the wife, and so they stopped working on her. And they began working on the child, and they got the child's heart beating, got him to come back, and was doing wonderfully. 4 or 5 minutes after, the child came back for absolutely no reason with which the doctors could explain. The mother came back to life. And started heartbeat, started breathing, and was restored. Now, I wrote the name and the family because it took place in Colorado and checked it out. And it was one of those Christmas stories that I sat there as I listened to it in the early morning, like, whoa, what a variance. You know, you anticipate one way as you go into the Christmas season, and suddenly your wife is dead, your child is dead, and you are feeling what all those emotions must be. And then, obviously, before the evening is over, your son is restored, and your wife is brought back by a miracle that actually has no explanation whatsoever on the part of the doctors. And that was the story. It wasn't a religious station, it was WISN. It wasn't a religious program, it was just Fox News. And I was sitting there going, oh my goodness, even those stations can sometimes come through for you and preach a good word. But it talked about, the person on the radio then talked about what so really matters at Christmas, and the life that comes back, and the life, and he mentioned God and Christ and the message of real Christmas, and said a lot of people understand that and remember that this Christmas Eve. So I wanted to start with that, and I wanted you to live in the assurance and the confidence that God still works, and he works even in the secular realm, and on news stations where you don't think you'll hear things, and on stations where you're not sure what you're doing. And so tonight, as we get ready to celebrate, we got our whole family with us, and praise the Lord for being able to celebrate these special times. And let's open the prayer. Heavenly Father, what an unbelievable gift you gave to that family. What an unbelievable gift you gave to us. People who were dead in our trespasses and sins. People who had no hope. For all practical purposes, spiritually, eternally lost, condemned, and dead. But you brought Christmas into our lives. You brought your presence, your power, your grace, your mercy, your life, your revelation, your truth into our lives. And tonight, because of what you have done in my life, because of what you have done in the lives of these brothers and sisters, we look forward in hope. We are a husband understanding the miracle of bringing dead people to life, the miracle of the resurrection, the miracle of salvation, the miracle begun, brought about, and accomplished by the working of your Holy Spirit in the lives of each individual. So I pray, Lord, your blessing would rest upon each of us tonight. I pray that there would be a resurrection of life in each of our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we would treasure the life of each person we share this evening's service with. I pray, Lord, that above all else, you would be given glory. And so we begin tonight's worship in the name Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And God's people say,
on Friday, and the voice I practiced on Sunday, and it was pretty hilarious how bad it sounded. So anyway, I asked Sarah, and she's the lovely Sarah, is going to do the song for me. But I wanted to share some thoughts with you as to why I chose this song. The first time I heard it on the radio, Reborn in Me, was about 5 weeks ago. It was written based on the Annunciation of the angel to Mary, that she was with child and would carry the promised Messiah. But when I first listened to the song, I didn't think of Mary at all. I thought of all the times in our lives as believers when the Lord has asked us to be a living sacrifice, an example of his faithfulness through trials and storms. I thought of Summer, my cousin's wife, who is in the battle of her life to become cancer-free so that she can raise her two young sons to adulthood. Then I thought of all the people in this church who are battling illnesses, some for years now, and remain faithful and hopeful in Jesus. I thought of brothers and sisters here whose spouses God decided to call home, and they are leaning on him to teach them to live a life of joy without the love of their life. I thought of the several young married couples I've watched praying to the Lord that he would bless them with a child. Many have now received that precious gift, but had to learn the patience and trust of waiting on God's timing. How about all of you who have worked so hard in life, only to financially been told to let go of the blessings and jobs and homes because of what has happened to our economy? And then the unthinkable happened in Connecticut a little over a week ago. Those families are sitting in their Christmas Eve services tonight, aching for one more little bear hug, one more sound of laughter, one more chance to brush her hair and braid it for Christmas, one more chance to chase him around, trying to get him to settle down for prayers in bed. May the Lord be with them and all of us tonight on this beautiful Christmas Eve. May he meet us where we are at, fill us with his Holy Spirit, so that no matter what life throws our way, we are so solid in his love and plan for us that we say, I am willing, I am yours, be born in me.
Everything inside me cries for order. Everything inside me wants to hide. Is this shadow an angel or a warrior? If God is pleased with me, why am I so terrified? Someone tell me, I'm only dreaming. Somehow help me see with heaven's eyes. And before my head agrees, my heart it's on its knees. Holy is he, blessed am I, be born in me. Be born in me. Trembling heart, somehow I believe that you chose me. I'll hold you in the beginning, you will hold me in the end, and every moment in the middle, make my heart your Bethlehem. be born in me. All this time we've waited for the promise. All this time you've waited for my arms. Did you wrap yourself inside the unexpected? So we might know that love would go that far. Be born in me. Be born in me. Trembling heart, somehow I believe that you chose me, and I will hold you in the beginning, and you will hold me in the end, and every moment in the middle, make my heart your Bethlehem, be born in me. I'm not brave, I'll never be. The only thing I have to offer is a vacancy. I'm just a girl, nothing more. But I am willing, I am yours. You will hold me in the end, every moment in the middle, make my heart your Bethlehem, be born in me.
Stand if you wish.
Over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lowly shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven, falling on their knees, they bow before the humble Prince of Peace. I bring an offering of to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of heaven. It's only by your blood, it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you.
I bring an offering to you.
Let men their
sounding joy.
Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy.
He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his law,
and wonders of his law,
and wonders, wonders of his love.
Your hand holds the stars, and your hand holds the earth. Your hand holds my heart, and your hand gives me worth. Your hand reaches into the world that you made. It's the hand a child in a manger you're laid. Joy to the world when we welcome you here. Joy to your people as you're drawing near. Joy in the heavens over joy in your presence, let the praises resound. The King of creation, you come to your own to rescue your chosen and carry her home. A bridegroom approaches. We lift up our eyes to welcome your coming in our hearts in the skies. Joy to the world when we welcome you here. Joy to your people as you're drawing. Joy in the heavens over one lost one found, and joy in your presence, let the praises resound. This night won't be silent as we hear angels say, to God in the highest of heavens be praised. We'll join in the chorus as they herald your birth. Glory, glory to Jesus, and your peace fill the earth. Joy to the world. Joy to your people as you're drawing near. Joy in the heavens over one lost one found. And joy in your presence, let the praises resound.
Clear and quiet stillness.
watching flocks by night. Suddenly from heaven there shone a brilliant light. To you is born a Savior. He is God's own Son. In a lonely manger you'll find the promised one. Gloria.
Lord. bless you tonight, Lord. We praise you. Come and touch your hearts of your people. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. In the old days, they had this television program called Dragnet. It was a pretty hokey thing, so I don't necessarily hold it up as a great show, but there was a great one-liner that I still remember, the two cops in there that say, "The facts, ma'am, just the facts." Now, I don't know any police officers that talk quite like, can't even remember their names right now, but those police officers in the story. Yeah, you're all going, I know, all right, yeah. All the kids are going, Dragnet? What's that? You know, Christmas is more than the facts. And I wanted to kind of take us past that a little bit tonight, because you have, you know, the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxation takes place so that he can keep track of his people, and actually so he can tax them more. That's really the motive that was behind it. Keep track of how many, and then you can collect so much tax from each one. And that was a way for the government to make more money. I don't know how much governments have changed since then, but Mary and Joseph travel down, and they eventually end up at Bethlehem. Mary's pregnant, obviously, and 9 months along, traveling over 100 and some miles, the back of a donkey. I think that probably supersedes most of the travel stories that even the most busy of wives and husbands who have the baby in the back seat or the car had a back, you know, on the back of a donkey would have been a little different. But they make it to Bethlehem. No room in the inn, you remember that part, and Mary has the little baby. Shepherds are in the fields keeping watch over their flocks, and the angels come and they proclaim the glory of the Lord, and it shines around them, and the shepherds are terrified at first, and the angels say, "Don't be afraid." And finally, the message is, the Savior has been born. You're going to find that baby wrapped in death clothes, death cloth, swaddling clothes, and lying in a manger, a place where animals feed. Shepherds believe it. They stand up. They leave their flocks. They go into town. They find the child. And the reality is that they trust, they understand, they believe he's the Messiah. Later on, many days, weeks later, we're not exactly sure, the wise men come. And even though we put them all in the same event, Jesus is probably a little bit older. They'd have found some place at least to live. And the wise men offer their gifts. But if you noticed, I put the Christ candle beyond, and I moved it there so that we'd stare at the cross, not so that we just remember the message of the cross, but so that we understand Christmas is more than a block of information, than a number of facts to be recited. There is a whole message of the heart of God in the event of Christmas that I wanted to focus on tonight. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be working in Romans 15 tonight. It's not considered normally a Christmas passage, but I believe it's a message that God wants us to hear. And I wanted to focus on it because it tells you the heart of God. In other words, we're going to be receiving or getting presents, or we have already, and some people need to know what the motive is behind the present. In other words, why are you giving or receiving one? Sometimes we give out of guilt. Sometimes, we parents are always doing, "You do that, I got to be even with each kid, you know, and I spent $17 more on child number two and number four." And when they're little, they don't care about it, but they hit somewhere around 7 and 8, 9, whatever, depending upon some of them at 3 or whatever it is. But they figure out that there is this thing called money and value and worth, and they can have these huge fights, and so you work really hard. And sometimes your motivation is, "I got to buy one more thing just to keep them shut up." And motivations are kind of interesting. So I wanted to talk about the heart of God at Christmas. You see, realistically, the Christmas message is not just his birth. The Christmas message carries us through into the cross. But there's something beyond the cross, too, because we lose it otherwise. We get trapped with just the facts, ma'am, just the facts, and we miss what God's heart is toward you and me, toward people like us, toward the circumstances of our world, toward the heart situations that we find ourselves. So I'd like to read you this text out of Romans 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his neighbor's good, to build him up. Here's Christmas now, listen. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it was written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The message of Christmas is that God invaded the world because he loved this world. The message of Christmas is, I don't know where you're coming from. I don't always get to see every one of you every Sunday. I don't know every circumstance of your life. But the message is, God longs to be in your life. And he longs to involve himself in your life. And the message of Christmas is that he's willing to risk anything and everything for your sake. He is invading out of love and commitment to you, your life, your circumstances, and he moves into your life, and he's willing to live in whatever condition, including a manger, a stable, a stench-filled place, whatever your heart is or my heart is. If you picture it as that stench-filled place, God whispers to you and says, I want to live there. You want to live in this man's heart? He goes, yes, I came for that. But the story carries us to the next thing. Because as he dwells in my heart, as he enters into the stable of my life, he brings with him light and revelation and truth and meaning and purpose, and he changes the very presence and the mystery of that stable suddenly becomes a place where people want to gather, where they want to kneel, where they're not asking what the smell is, they're not asking what am I kneeling in, they walk into the middle of it and they are raised, they are changed, they are receiving the glory of God in their lives, they have their lives turned in a totally different direction, and the shepherds leave that place glorifying God for all that they had seen and heard. You see, the message of Christmas is that when God invades the stable and the stench and the wretch of this man's heart, he changes everything that's there. He changes everything that I am, and he turns it around, and he makes it a beautiful place because of his presence. And the glory that comes out in my life, the glory that begins to manifest, is not because I have done anything, but because the mercy of God dwelling in this man's stable of a heart begins to be changed. And so you walk through that manger scene and you understand the message of the cross. I have come to save sinners. I have come because you needed me to come. I am going to the cross. I'm paying everything for you. And as he pays for me, I stand there in the presence of the message of Christmas and I weep and I say, you did everything for me, Lord. And the answer comes back, for God so loved the world. Not just me, but my worst enemy. Not just me, but the boss who just fired me. not just me, but my son, my daughter, my mother-in-law, my son-in-law, my brother-in-law, whoever it might be, all those individuals. And he whispers to me, I love the world. And the part that we have to understand, I gave my only son, because the message here, like I said, when I tried to stop us to look at that little phrase on what the message of Christmas really was this phrase where it says, for even Christ did not please himself. And so I step back and go, it would have been perfectly reasonable for you to stay and not bring a rescue or love into someone who hated you, didn't know you, was ignorant of you, had the stench of his own sin and the filth of the world all around him, was comfortable in it, and you came into this man's heart. God whispers, of course I did. And you taught me, and you opened my eyes, and my life has changed forever because of you. Of course it is. And the message that he whispers to you and I is the one that comes out. Even Christ did not please himself. Christmas is about Christ not doing something for himself. Christmas is about Christ leaving everything and entering into my world for a man like me, and the message just envelops me, and the message brings the glory of God, and the message washes all the things of the world and brings his presence into the mystery of his love for me. And I'm a changed man. And so here, now in this text, hear the heart of God as I read again and slow it down in a couple of different ways. We who have finally seen the manger, understand the cross, those of us who have had our noses cleaned up from the stench and the filth of our lives, those of us who have tasted the heavenly gift, the miracle of Christmas, the understanding that Jesus comes for sinners and loves people like us, it whispers this, we who are strong, and the word strong there means endowed, those who have been empowered, you've been given something. It's like you swallowed this pill and suddenly, or like, you know, swallowed the can of spinach and you're endowed with this power. And he says, those of you who have been endowed with the power need to bear with the shortcomings, the feebleness, the disease, the sickness of the people who can't do any better. Isn't that fascinating? The Christmas message is simply this. Christ came for a feeble, weak, diseased man like me because I couldn't do any better. And he brought resurrection power into my life. And he enabled me, empowered me, it strengthened me to see and feel and walk in a brand new way. And now he whispers this. And not to please ourselves, we need to bear with the failings of the weak. Each of us need to reach out to please his neighbor for his neighbor's good and build him up. Because this is what Christ did for me. And then it goes on a little later on and says, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through both the endurance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. You see, if you stop in the manger, you don't get to the miracle of the cross. And if you stop at the cross, all you have is the stench of the manger and the difficulty of having to live his life, and you go to the cross and you see him being spitten and whipped and torn, and then you have to carry it beyond that, almost like the white sheets up there representing, behold, the glory of God. You have to carry it in the resurrection, and then you have to understand, here it is, the resurrection, this package wrapped in this beautiful white cloth of the mercy of God comes down and it envelops my life. And he says, here's everything I have won for you. And he whispers and he says, can you give the present to your neighbor? Have you understood what love is? Have you discovered what sacrifice is? Do you ever have those difficult times with the in-laws and the outlaws over Christmas holidays and say things like, oh my goodness, and how tough it is? I'm going to whisper to you, bear with them and build them up and don't seek to please yourself because you know better. You understand the manger. You understand the cross. You understand the resurrection. And God has endowed you with a power that will not quit. He will give you the strength to love. He will give you the strength to forgive. He will give you the strength to bear up. He will give you the strength to say something nice to grandma or grandpa, mom or dad, brother or sister, cousin, nephew, niece. He is going to do something beyond you because the message of Christmas carries us right straight through the end. And then listen to this last verse. Now may the God who gives endurance, patient endurance, the ability to bear up. I don't know what you're like, but God has to use an immense amount of patience every day to deal with me. And here's the miracle. I weep at the grace that he extends to me even now. I weep because I sit there and say, Jesus, this verse is for me, isn't it? This message of this Christmas event is first for me because you're telling me that you bear with me. And bearing doesn't mean like, oh my goodness, I have to bear. It means to carry him. It means my crippled, wounded behavior, attitude, and heart. Jesus comes along, he says, down there again, huh? Come on. Picks that arm up, tucks it around his shoulder and says, let's go. My brother carries me. My Savior holds on to me. My Savior lifts me up. I go in my stench. I walk with my inconsistency of life and he bears, he picks me up and he wants to walk with my smelly, wretched, stinking life. And he says, I want to bear with you. I want to be close to you. And I whisper, how can you keep coming to a man that stenches like a stable and whose life is so inconsistent? And he whispers to me, because this is why I came. This is what I meant when I said I love sinners. This is what Christmas is all about. This is the event that speaks of God giving his only son to die so that I can taste and be lifted up. And here's the truth. God is my friend. He's not mad at me. And he walks alongside me. And when I trip and I fall and I cannot move, even after years of walking with him, he reaches down under my life and he picks me up and he carries me until I can walk again. And then we walk arm in arm and finally hand in hand. And finally, he walks beside me. That's what it means. He goes on in this phrase. He gives patient endurance, encouragement to you in a spirit of unity that he wants to produce here. He whispers to you and says, don't look at people and find a reason to hate them. Look at people and find a reason to pick them up. Look at people and understand the Christmas message. Spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm told that in the military, I'm not sure if it's in every branch, but I'm told that in the military, one of those branches or some of the branches say, no man left behind. No man left behind. And I go, that's the kind of heart we got to have. God whispers and he says, not one of these children left behind. Not one wife, not one husband, not one son, not one daughter, not one mother, not one father or grandma or grandpa, not one neighbor, not one boss left behind. I want them all. I came because I love the world. Pray with me a moment. Heavenly Father, what moves you to love sinners like us, I don't fully comprehend. But I do know that the stench of my stable is wretched. And I do know that you walk right into the middle of my stench, put your arm around me, and lift me up and tell me, "Welcome home, child." You carry me. You encourage me. You help guide my steps. And I speak that out over these brothers and sisters, these sons and daughters, these neighbors and friends. I speak the truth that you are loved by God. There is nothing in your life that can separate you from God's love. And he longs to lift you up, to carry you in the circumstances of the stench of your life, to speak to you the goodness of his heart, to remind you that all of your sins have been paid for at the cross, and to call you forward to be living in the power that he wants to give to you, to live each day in the glory of God. Come and receive what God has for you tonight, and let Christmas again begin in your heart in every way. Excuse me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of Christmas, for the gift of your birth, for the sacrifice of the cross, for the miracle of the resurrection, so that we can taste a unity and a love that changes our circumstances in our life and our world. Come and bring Christmas into our hearts again, Lord Jesus, so that not one person here in this place is going to be left behind. Let that be in our hearts and on our lips. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Excuse me while I get a drink. Did anyone not get a candle? Just raise your hand. We'll have someone. Everyone got a candle? I'm going to remind you as we close. The lit candle stays upright. The unlit candle tilts into it, and you catch the flame. I like that, kind of that moment of humbling. Tell you what humbles me. Being loved. And knowing what kind of heart I really have. Being forgiven and knowing the kind of mercy God shows me. Being loved by my kids. Being forgiven by a congregation. Being shown mercy by people. And so as I bow my candle to the Christ candle and I pass that on to each one of you, you're not bowing to me. You're not bowing to the person next to you, although that would be just fine. But you're bowing to Christ. You say, "Lord Jesus, I bow my head to you. Ignite the fire in my heart and my life. Make me glow with your presence and your power. Let the power of your Spirit rule my heart and bring a Christmas that we will never forget, filled with the joy of your presence. It's in your name, Jesus." Make sure you turn around a little bit, start it in the row behind you and also in other places. We'll just kind of let Mark play it through once and kind of hum it or something. Here we go.